Now, let's just bow our heads with a word of prayer, and then we'll move into today's message. Father God, we do thank you for your love. Lord, that not one of us is ever alone, that you're always there with us. Lord, we thank you that you created this earth. But Father, sometimes we have a tendency to forget just how much we owe you. You've given us life. You've given us salvation. You've given us every good thing there is. Lord, we have sometimes taken those things which you've given us and abused them and even perverted them, twisted them and used them in ways which was never your will. But Father, as we come here today, I would ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to just guide us and change our heart and mind. Bring us each one to a place where we recognize your lordship in our life and your ownership of all that we are. For you are indeed the one who created us. And then, Lord, help us to see how we are to relate to you in that manner. So, Father, bless us. And help us to be a blessing to those around us. But most of all this day, open to our hearts and minds an understanding of stewardship that will help us to worship you in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 4, it speaks of the first offering. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked in favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Sin desires to have you, but you must master it, is what God told Cain, and it's what he tells you and I. We need to understand our relationship with God and how it is we're supposed to give Him tithes and gifts and offerings. We see here that one gift was acceptable, but another wasn't. Why? God didn't tell Cain why, or didn't tell us why. Because he figured to Cain it should have been obvious what was wrong. And it wasn't necessary, I guess, for us to know what it was. Maybe it was the condition of Cain's heart. Maybe it wasn't the best of his fruits that he gave. I don't know. But for whatever reason, maybe Cain only gave because his brother gave, and he wanted to, well, his brother did it, so he felt he better do it too. We talked about last week God's ownership. And stewardship really starts from that point, is that God created the heavens and the earth. Everything's God's. It's given into our hands, not because it's ours, but for our care, for God's glory. Whatever we have, whatever we use, we're supposed to be doing everything. All that we do every time, breath that we take, is supposed to be as an act of worship to the Lord. What is worship? The word worship means giving worth to something. Okay? If I think you are worthy, then I give you worth. I put worth towards you. Worship is acquiring great worth, showing that God is, when we give God our worship. Sometimes our worship shows to God that we don't think much of Him. In fact, quite often our worship shows that we really don't think much of God. It's important. See, what God wants is our heart. Where our heart is what's important with God. If the widow's mites, those little bit that she gave, was so valuable because her heart was in the right place and it was a sacrificial giving. She gave sacrificially. Why was that important to God? Because she was placing Him above all and recognizing that He was the source of her help. If she was going to get help from anywhere, the ultimate source was from God. That's the premise. That's where we need to start from. But we look at the Bible, and we look at church, and quite frankly, one of the problems that we have today is that there are people out there who are abusing Scripture and teaching people that if you want to get to heaven, you better send your money in. If you want to do better in life, you better send your money. God does indeed promise in Malachi that if we bring the full tithe into the storehouse, He will open up the floodgates of heaven and bless us. He doesn't tell us that those will be in like, that if I put $100 bills into the offering plate, He will flood me with $100 bills. He says, I will flood you with blessing. It's a very broad category. Every breath I take is a blessing. My wife and children are blessings. You are blessings. So let's not get tied up in that type of thing. And other people are like, well, the church is always asking for money. You know, all they want is my money. They don't care about me. I don't get up here and talk about money and stewardship because I want your money or the church wants your money. The reason why we talk about the money is because where you put your money says about where you put your heart. And because God has given us some very specific instructions that we are supposed to do certain things, because what you'll also find is that sometimes action leads to a change of heart. You're angry at somebody, you're having issues, pray that God will bless them. Do that diligently every day. Do it multiple times a day. Say, Lord, bless this person. Don't just say, Lord, make him less of a jerk. No. Say, Lord, bring joy into his life. Bring satisfaction to his job. Bring harmony between he and his wife. Bless him financially, that he'll have what he needs. Pray those kind of blessings for that person whom you are most angry with, and you will find that you can't stay angry. That act of giving to them through blessing and prayer will change your heart towards them. Well, if I'm like this with my wallet, it's very hard to have a giving and loving and open nature. But if I'm like this with my wallet and have it open and give to whatever is needed. Again, stewardship isn't about being frivolous and just, oh, you want 20 bucks? Here's 20 bucks. You know, no problem. No, one, I don't have that kind of cash to just, so I have to be responsible. But if I'm giving freely and lovingly, I'm going to have that type of attitude, even though I might be fiscally responsible at the same time. Okay, you know, I really don't need to go out to lunch this week. Well, so I make the sacrifice and give it to somebody else who has a real need. You know, they need to turn their lights on. Maybe they need to buy groceries. Well, you know, groceries aren't a problem for some of us. Okay. So what is it that God tells us to do? Well, in His Word, He tells us to bring three types of gifts, tithes, and offerings. Money comes, we're to give to God in three ways, financially. Gifts, tithes, and offerings. What are they? Okay. A tithe means a tenth. Doesn't mean 1%, doesn't mean 5%, doesn't mean 8%, doesn't mean 7%, doesn't mean 12%. Means 10%, one tenth. That's what a tithe means. And God tells us that we are to bring the tithe into the storehouse. He tells us that in multiple places through Scripture. And example, Exodus 25:19 tells us to bring the best of the first fruits of your soul to the house of the Lord God. Bring the best. The tithe is supposed to be of the best too. It's the first 10%. It's 10% off the top. It's not 10% off whatever's at the bottom when we get done. And when we bring it, we're supposed to be giving it to God. Okay. Now, if I give you something, whose is it? If I give it to you, whose is it? It's yours, isn't it? And if, but you ever had somebody give you something with, and then try to attach strings to it? Well, I will give you this if you do this. Otherwise, I'm going to take it back. Well, then they haven't really given it, have they? They're just loaning it to you. Or maybe a lend-lease program. You know, giving it to you with payments. You have to pay for it in some manner. Then it's not really giving anymore. It's not a gift. Now, our tithe, we're supposed to give to God. And this is one of those things where we give to God, and you know what? You can't put strings on it. You give it to God. You're supposed to take it to the storehouse, take it to the place where you worship. If this is where you worship, if this is the church that you come to on a regular basis, then this is where you are to bring your tithe. If you are a visitor here and you go to a different church most of the time, that's where your tithe is supposed to go. The primary place where you receive spiritual feeding, that is where the tithe goes. You take it there and you give it to God. That means it's given without strings. You don't say, well, I'll give you this money to fix the, you know, I want different colored chairs. Or that. Now, people can do that. That's called giving a gift. Say, I'm giving money so that we can get new chairs, and I would like them to be in this color or something like that. And that would be a gift. But that's not a tithe. Okay, I want you to understand there's a difference between the two. These definitions of terms go through. Then there's an offering. We're also told to bring offerings. In fact, we're told not to come before God empty-handed. That's in Exodus 23:15. It says, no one is to appear before the empty-handed before the Lord. When we come before God, we're supposed to be bringing something. We see that in Revelation, there at the end where we're standing before the Lord, what do we have? We're throwing down before God all the treasure that we have accumulated in heaven by doing His will here on earth. And we lay it all down before Him. See, all that we do, all that we are, is eventually, it's all done for the purpose of giving it to God. We see that from beginning to end. So that we're supposed to be thankful to God. And by doing that, we give Him a little bit now and all later. And He only asked for 10% as far as the tithe goes. Now, in Genesis, we have the story of Joseph. How many know the story of Joseph? You know, this Technicolor Dreamcoat guy? You know, he's the guy who went to Egypt, and he, you know, because his brother sold him into slavery, and he ends up in charge of everything and saves the family and saves all of Egypt by having storehouse the food because he interpreted the Pharaoh's dream properly. And his family comes and eventually moves to Egypt. Well, what happened was not only did he save his own family, but he saved all of Egypt. In the process, though, when Pharaoh collected all this food for the time of famine, Pharaoh had all the food when everybody else was starving. After 7 years of famine, it turns out that nobody had any more money. So they sold their livestock that they had, Pharaoh. And, you know, he bought that, and they still needed more food. You know, they had another year of famine, so they sold their land. Pharaoh owned everything in Egypt. Everything was his. And Joseph, who was in charge of collecting, set out that everybody shall give 20% to Pharaoh, one-fifth. 80% was for the people to keep for themselves, for their own food, for seed stock, etc. But 20%, one-fifth, was to go to Pharaoh as his, because he owned it. It was his livestock. Now, that's a fair deal. If I told you, here, I've got this farm, and it's all mine, but I'll let you farm it and take 80% of the crop and keep it all. I'll let you live on my land. I'll let you eat my food. And then, I just want you to give me 20%. If I had a business like that, you know, I'll want you to, you just run it, I own it, but you just give me 20% of the profits and you get to keep 80% of the profits. How many here would think that's a great deal? Come on! And that's what Pharaoh was doing. And that's when the people came out of Egypt. And then God goes to the people and says, you know what? I don't want 20% what you were giving Pharaoh. I only want 10%. That's half. Now, how many think that's a better deal? Come on, 90%. I get to keep 90%. God gets 10%. But what if somebody walked into your house and said, you know what? I want you to give me 10% of all your stuff. Now, you'd say, hey, that's my stuff. You're not getting any of it. That's often the attitude that we have towards God. We forget that the stuff that we have isn't ours, it's His. But how about if you invited a family in to share your home? You said, yeah, live here as if it's your own. Then you go on a trip. And you come back and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to let you keep just about everything here. I just want 10% of my stuff back. And they say, no, you can't have it. It's mine. Hold it. I invited you into my house. And now you won't even give me what's mine back. In fact, I only want 10% of what's mine back. I was going to give you the rest of it. Just give it. That's what our attitude often is towards God. That's the tithe. It's the first 10% goes to God, directly to the storehouse. Then we have these offerings. There's thank offerings, there's sin offerings, there's redemption offerings. What are these offerings for? We take offerings for the Great Commission Fund. What these offerings are gifts that, these are money, time, things that we give, sometimes they're items that we give to God above and beyond the tithe. It's an offering, it's a sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice is something extra. It costs you a little bit of your own. David, when he was going to, he wanted to build the temple. And he wanted to go buy a threshing floor. He says, this is the place I want to put the temple. And that's, well, I'm going to put the tabernacle here while we go build the temple. Sorry, get my... The guy says, oh, I'll give it to you. And I'll provide the animals for the sacrifice. And David said, no, I can't have a sacrifice that costs me nothing that I give to God. That's not a sacrifice. That's not real. God's not going to honor that. So he paid for it and then gave it to God. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to thank God for the blessing of his kingship. He wanted to honor God before the people, so he gave to God. There are sin offerings where people had done something wrong. They were told in God's Word you needed to go and sacrifice a couple doves or a goat or a sheep or something. And then the meat from that needed to be given to the priests and Levites. And you know, if there was restitution that needed to be done, that had to be done also at that time. Now, those sin offerings. We don't have to do sin offerings anymore because that has been paid for one time for all. Christ paid for all our sins. But that still leaves us with thank offerings. Has God ever blessed you? Have you ever had an abundance in your life? Have you ever had something wonderful happen? What do? When something really wonderful happens, you have a party, you celebrate maybe, you invite all your friends and family over. What's the typical thing that happens when somebody graduates high school? You know, you have a party, you have a graduation party, or maybe open house, invite everybody over, you get a lot of food. You know, it costs you some money to put this thing on. Why are you doing this? Because you're thankful, you're excited that the kid graduated from high school. And what do? You invite all your friends and your family and say, I want you to be part of this. Well, thank offering to God is just saying, God, we want you to be part of this. We want you to be part of my joy at your blessing you've given me. So you give back some to God to say, thank you for your blessing. It's just sharing with God, who gave you the blessing in the first place, your joy in the blessing. The redemption offerings. The firstborn male of every animal was to be the Lord's. Now, it could be redeemed back, and also the first son of every family was supposed to be given to the Lord, and it could be redeemed back. Say, giving my son to the Lord, but instead of sending him off to the temple to live, he could be redeemed back. Because God had first claim. We don't practice that one anymore. Because God has redeemed us all. Jesus redeemed each and every one of us. Now we're all God's. We, each one of us, belong to the priesthood. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you become part of the priesthood of God. It's not the pastors who are the priesthood of God. It's you are. So we don't need to do that one anymore. So basically what we have left is we have thank offerings. So when God has blessed us, we're supposed to give thanks. Or maybe we... And then there's also offerings for petition. This is one that can get twisted. This is one where actually people say, well, send your last $50 into me and we'll pray over it and God will bless you even more. Please don't do that. Give as God directs you to give. Don't give because somebody is making some... But you can give to God because you have a petition, because you want something. But remember, what He wants first and foremost is your heart and your actions. Lay your gift before God. The number one gift He wants is your heart. Lay that down before Him. It's your time. Are you spending time with God? Praying? Are you spending God's time serving God? Are you doing His work? These are ways that we're to do, to give of our offerings. To give gifts. Talk about tithes, gifts, and offerings. Gifts are just that, remember. It's a gift. It's a thank offering. Or a gift. God has blessed me. I'm just happy. It's Christmas. I want to give a gift to God. Maybe you write a check to a mission agency. Maybe you write a check to a food shelf. Those are gifts to God. It doesn't have to be to the church. Yes, the church can be the agency through which you do, some of those gifts are disseminated because we do those things. It's only the tithe that is directed by God to come directly this way. When we do something in God's name, at His direction, or because we're just seeking to please Him, to thank Him, it's okay. Follow as He wills. See, He puts burden on your heart. If He's giving you a burden for a missionary, and it doesn't matter that they may or may not be part of the CMA's missionary force. As long as they're serving God, support them if God has put their burden on your heart. But that would be a gift that you're giving to God because He's given you, because He has given this burden to you that I want to support that outreach. That burden is your love. Because you love God. And He put it in such a manner that, okay, because of your love for me, I want you to help this ministry in this fashion. Maybe it'll be prayer. Maybe it'll be a financial gift. Maybe it'll be volunteer time. Those are the differences between tithe, a gift, and an offering. We need to remember that we don't confuse what they are. We need to remember first and foremost that all we're doing is returning what's really God's back to Him. So it costs us nothing, personally. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will not be accepted. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Do not let the enemy in through your pocketbook, through your stewardship. Remember, you have stewardship not just of your pocketbook, but of your time and your talents. And God has said, give those to me in tithes and gifts and offerings. So you're going to give those gifts as God puts the burden on your heart. You're going to give those offerings as God has blessed you and brought joy into your life. You're going to bring those tithes. Into God's storehouse. Not because I stand up here on Sunday morning and say this, but because God and His Word has said this is what we will do, and that He's commanded it, and He tells us, His Word, that if we love Him, we will obey His Word. And why does He tell us to do it? Again, it goes back to the fact that not because God needs our money, because it's not our money. But because we need to have a giving attitude and heart. And if we don't learn to give to God first, we'll never be able to give to anybody or anything else. Because God knows what's best for us. That's why. And He knows that if we do this, it will change our hearts. It will change our attitude. And He'll be able to take that little tiny bit and multiply it when it's given right, which is out of a love for God and obedience to His Word. When it's given that way, it's multiplied and used for His glory and for the benefit. He uses it for the benefit of His people as a whole. So, we have two more messages on stewardship that I'm going to be talking about in the next 2 weeks. Next week, I'll be talking about the corporate responsibility, what our responsibility is as a congregation. And then I'll be speaking more towards to the community around us and such. And then the week after that, I'll be talking both on corporate and individual responsibility to the church, and a little bit more specific towards each other and towards self. Because good stewardship also includes taking care of yourself. Because if you're not doing well, you can't do well for God. So, let's pray. Father God, we do indeed thank You for Your Word. We thank You that stewardship isn't about dollars and cents. It's about hearts and attitudes. Lord, help us to have an attitude that is first one of thankfulness, second, one of generosity, and third, just one of obedience. Lord, help us to be obedient and faithful so that in all things we do indeed give You worth. And might that worth not be small. but might it be above all things. In Jesus' name, amen.